Hallo und herzlich willkommen to the second day of Push to Talk. I hope you slept well. I hope you had a great day and evening yesterday and today we continue. Und der nächste Vortrag. Yes, and if you are listening to the translation, welcome here. The translation is done by Flo H. and me, Franz T. And welcome. Our next talk is. Must be. Oh, I prepared something. It's about this. This relatively ugly piece of electronics might also look like this. Jaden will talk about how they work, and in after the question and answer session, will answer your questions. And welcome, Jaden, for to the presentation. Yeah, hi. As said, I will talk a bit. How you can turn a dev board, how you can move from a dev board with cables all around to something proper, looking like this, a proper PCB. However, let's get starting. I'm Jaden, I use female pronouns, I'm 19, and I currently go to school. I'm doing my university entry exam and you could see me on Mastodon and maybe on my website. Once the talk is done, you still have any questions, please hit me up on Mastodon. What are we talking about? How can I turn all my cables to a proper decision? Do I need all the parts? Is it a good idea what I built? How can I turn that into a PCB design I can get made, can have produced? How can I get all the parts and how can I assemble everything to a functioning and beautiful looking result? First of all, we need an idea. An idea I had was back then when displays were an e-ink display was something new. I wanted a proper looking e-ink display, and that was the idea I continued with. First, you think about what can I do. Usually you have an example circuit in the with the dev board and you build it. In the first method you don't look at details because that will change anyways. So you look at what do you want to do. You create it on, draw it down on paper. It does not need to be beautiful. It can just be a doodle, and you connect more parts to it. You need an e-ink. You need a battery. You need a CPU. That's the easiest you can do in the beginning. Just draw everything. Then the fun part starts. You have to build it. In the beginning, it's a whole mess with cables and a lot of mixed up parts, and but that's the most fun part of it. And when you have something, you build it, you test it, and start again, again and again, until at the end, the functional, it works. It works the way you think it should work. Probably will take several weeks or at least hours. And with the time, you find all the small mistakes. Once that is done, you have a whole bunch of cables and everything works, but it does not look that good. And how can you turn that, bring that to somewhere else? I don't want to have the ink display on the table with all the cables. It's meh. Maybe I even want to have it in a beautiful way. And then you get the idea. Why don't I create a PCB? And then the second question is, how do I create PCBs? Is that expensive? Is that complicated? What do I think about? And that is something that is overwhelming in the beginning. You get too many resources and informations, and they don't agree with each other. And earlier or later, yeah. The first step, you draw the circuit you have created. You can just, write Arduino in a block and just look at the eye opened. You can use Eagle from Autodesk. There is a free version. Then there is the free software KiCad, and there are different projects. I did all my projects in Eagle. There's a student version that is free, and Eagle is a good program. If I remember correctly, was free at some point and was bought up. What did I build? I have a dev board here. If I use a Raspberry, I don't recreate a Raspberry Pi. I use it as a finished component because it's quite difficult to create a Raspberry Pi PCB. But if I use an Arduino or something with an ESP, it's usually quite easy. And most dev boards have public schematics. The Arduino schematics are publicly available. You can look at them and copy the parts you used. That's the next step. Which parts of the dev boards did I actually use? Usually, they are, for example, with the ESP, they have voltage regulators and everything else on the PCB, and perhaps used a shield, and they have converters on them and everything. And then there's the question, and depending on how much you know, and if you draw it and look at what the parts do and use Google, you usually see what is connected to which. So, for example, I have an ESP module, and then I have a logic level converting on 5 volts, and then I have a sensor to 3 volts, and then convert it back down. You don't need that. It's unnecessary, it's expensive, and it just takes up space. So, with this method, again and again, which parts do I actually need? Which parts are redundant in this case? Something that's on there twice. For example, voltage regulators. I can just use one slightly larger rather than having 10 different voltage regulators when as long as everything runs on one voltage. So that's quite easy. It's quite easy to find that, and you have to look at the parts available to you, but it's quite feasible to optimize. And if I don't use parts at all, example Arduino, it is possible that I don't use the USB port. And then the question, do I flash the software via USB? But you can also program it through the programming interface, and then you don't need the USB device interface necessarily. The same with ESP. If you don't want to use something the USB, you don't need a USB and you don't b USB interface, and they are quite expensive. The standard USB interface that works quite well is not on most cheap China gadgets anymore, and it costs a few euros, and you only need it for flashing and never again. And then the question comes up, what do I do with the thing? Again, when I'm using shields all around the dev board, are there any special components? Again, looking at the schematics, again, turn them into my schematic. And that's a question I have again and again, that I have some strange components on there that I just can't find online. Some strange things. Usually there are replacement parts. Sometimes they have a pin somewhere else, or so you can find the alternatives. It's a lot of searching the internet and forums, looking at data sheets, and you sometimes need an hour to find a replacement part for one specific part on the original dev board. Maybe you have to change something in the circuit, maybe another resistor or so, but usually it's not hard to work it in to build it in a way that you have all the parts that you need. At the end, once it's done, it looks something like this. This is an example project. It's an ESP module, and in the bottom, and then there's this strange plus-like circuit. That's the voltage regulator for an ink display. This is an area where a strange part is. There is this MOSFET that's really strange on the original dev board, and I had to use a different one. I had to adapt the circuit, but it works. The parts on the top is a voltage supply, and that's something used for all parts and not just one. On side there is the contact for the ink display, and you need to put your time in for that, and it is art, and I'm really honest about that. You have to redraw it, think about it again, and that's not something you do in an afternoon, but once the first circuit is done, you will notice that probably you have to change something there. But that's the way it is when you develop electronic things. Especially when you start from the beginning, you don't think about every small component. Now that the circuit is done, the more interesting part starts, the design of the PCB. Because, for example, here, these two PCBs, one is more than twice as large than the others, but it's the same circuit. They, in principle, do exactly the same, but the form factor is completely different, and that's the same when you do a PCB design. And again, this is art, it's a drawing. You use your software, you usually the same you used for the creating the schematics, and you auto-place the parts somewhere, and it's roughly placed the way you do it for the schematics. That's easier in the beginning. You rebuild your schematics with real parts, and you can just look at it and compare it with the circuit diagram, and that's why this PCB is so much larger. I rebuilt the schematics. And if you're really fancy, you can print the schematics onto the PCB, and you don't have to look at the schematics while debugging. Once you have something that really works, that you can debug, and then you can shrink the electronic part to maybe put it into an existing case or something. Then parts on both sides. In the beginning, for debugging, it's quite bad, and even for hand soldering, it's a lot of work. But if you want to put it in a small form factor, if it's supposed to fit in a existing case, you can think about it. Many of the PCB design software already can create 3D module from your PCB. That's especially easy because you can just take the design PCB model and just put that import it into Fusion 360 and just say, hey, I build the fitting case around it, and you don't have to measure and calculate, but you can just import it and use it. That's quite handy. And that's why I used Eagle, because that's quite easy. It's Autodesk, and whether you want to use Autodesk or not, it works. I have parts everywhere. They are not connected. And the next step is routing. You connect every part with the parts. It might not be the same as the schematics, because the connection points of the parts are different than in the schematics. Sometimes you have not connected connections that are not used, and with routing you have to connect all the parts. And usually the software already draws lines which parts have to be connected where, and you and only allows these connections. That's quite handy. Next, you have to look at, do these connections work at all? Are they looking good? And something a lot of software is able to do, you can do auto routing. You can, the software does the routing for you yourselves, but in the end there is a PCB that's hard to debug. It tries to fit it as small as possible, and sometimes there are strange things. Auto routing does not work that good. In the end, you still have to do work, and I would prefer to do it by hand and know where every trace is and what it does, and I don't have to debug the automatically created PCB from some strange software. With larger projects, when you look at a Raspberry, it's different. You have so many connections, you can't just keep all of them in your head and understand them. But with small projects, that's a feasible way, a realistic way. Next step, routing by hand. Do you do that? It won't work the first time because you will have to layer traces and that doesn't work and you won't find a different solution. It takes time. It takes several hours. Even the small PCB I showed a few minutes ago is 12, if not 20 hours of routing until it's in this form. Maybe I shrank the PCB a millimeter, and some things always happen. So don't be frustrated when something does not work. Something you forget in the beginning, PCB is usually dual-sided. So here, where all the parts are soldered, it's one part layer, and on the backside, I can also create traces. Every software is different, but you always have to think about using both layers. If you have something really small and you want to have it really small, you can add additional layers, three, five, where you have traces within the PCB, but that's quite difficult to debug because you can't see all connections. And it's quite expensive to have to have them created. It's like drawing, it's something like art. You have to exercise, you have to get good at it, but you can do it and you get it at the end. No, none of these PCBs follow any norms, and usually, for example, this is the drawing of this smaller PCB. It's quite a mess. The blue lines are the back layer, the red lines are the front side of the PCB, and everything else is through, and the white things are printed text. It's quite messy, but you see both layers, and this is the drawing. You draw these lines, and you have to, do it to connect it. The regulations is, well, a thing. Usually, you say we have mass ground everywhere, and you just score the traces you want. But in the end, if a real PCB developer looks at this PCB, he will fall down and won't say, "Hey, that you don't do it that way." But that. For things you want to build for yourself, you don't want to sell, you don't want to use commercially, but something you just want to use at home, just for fun, you don't, it's unimportant whether you follow the appropriate DIN rules. And as long as you don't start with high voltage electronics, you can't, don't care about it. Worst case, a component breaks. So don't be afraid about off from all these norms, regulations. If you really want to sell something, You should give the you should have the your have that certified because you need a specific certification to have your own PCB certified, and that's something you need if you are in a company and just don't just have a hobby project. As long as it works, that's fine. And you don't harm yourself. Something similar is Pico Planet. It's like, it's a project from Bplake. In this case, I don't know whether you know it, but it looks like this. It's a small PCB. It more looks beautiful than being perfectly designed. That's normal. And it's not. You don't need something perfect. It's DIY stuff, and it does not work. Does not need to be perfect and fitting to all regulations. Once you're done and your design is ready, you take the next step. You have to create it. PCBs can be done at home. It's a lot of work and it's messy and it won't be perfect, especially not the first time. And it's not that cheap. Nowadays, it's cheaper to use an online shop that creates the PCBs for you. Most of them are somewhere in China, 30PCB, for example, or JLC PCB. They do that under rather bad, more or less bad circumstances. You get your PCBs quite cheaply and in sufficient quantities. I order 10 or 50 at the time. You usually get 50 of this small PCB I showed you. It were like $16, including shipping. It took 3 4 weeks, but that's the way. You also order all the other parts online, and they take similar times. They use these Gerber files, and they contain everything they need to create the PCB. It's all in this file, or usually it's several files inside the Gerber file. They are zip files, and you usually get them from your software. Hi, thank you for your talk. We have several questions here. Let's start with the first questions here. Are there standard norms for pin usage? Is there, pin 1 is always ground, pin 27 is VCC? No, there are no real norms that anything has to be anything. That's why for every component you have, there are dozens of data sheets and Eagle, at least probably KiCad. Usually, you can get a library. You can with the components of that manufacturer, and there are all the necessary data. And that's where the software is really useful, where you don't have to search everything, but there is no proper norm about for that. Thank you. Next question is more towards technology. How do you work around HF errors? High frequency is black magic, according to a friend of mine. HF is really, really difficult. That's something I said before. Use common ground. C have ground connections everywhere. That there is a lot of ground everywhere on the PCB, and the data lines are just